Well, good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it's my pleasure to be with you as we take this time today to worship, to be together and spend some time in God's Word. I have a few quick announcements to share, as always, so I'm going to do them. And the first, I wanted to say a word of thanks and celebration of our men's group for the weekend they had and the weekend that we've had. And Bob's going to share in a minute about the Peach Fest, so I'm not going to take his thunder there, but we also had the baseball game on Friday night. I wanted to say thank you to our men's group for sponsoring that. We had a great time down at Jimmy John's Field enjoying the baseball game. And I want to say a special word of thanks to Larry. He coordinated the tickets and met us all out there and got it all taken care of. So thank you for that. It was a good time and we had at the baseball field. Coming up today after church, if you peeked into the fellowship hall on your way in, you may have noticed it is rally day here at the church. We have some of our ministries and groups and organizations down there in the fellowship hall. They're set up and happy to share about the ministry they do, the work they do, the times of fun that they have. If you want to make your way down there after church, we'll have some refreshments for you. And I actually have it on good word that we're going to have someone down there twisting balloon animals as well. So if you want to take a balloon animal home with you from it today, you can do that too. So that will be after service today. Also wanted to remind you that on the sign-up board, there is apple picking taking place next Sunday down at Westview Orchards. And we'd love to have you join us. We're going to be down there from 2 to 4, but we do need to have you signed up so we know how many. The sign-up's on the board down there. If you want to join us, you'll get a bag of apples to take, a hayride, you get a donut, some cider. It's going to be a fun afternoon, so we invite you to come and join us for that next Sunday. Also coming up on the 18th, we have a blood drive that we'll be hosting here at the church. This is our second one we're hosting. It went so well the first time, they called us back and said, "Can you do another?" And graciously, Becky said, "We can," and she's hosting, so if you want to help out at all, you can talk to her for volunteer times. But if you want to sign up, that is down there, or you can sign up online as well. And finally for me, today at 2 o'clock, the youth group will be kicking off their new year of activities and fun. We'll be meeting out on the lawn for a picnic, a hot dog roast, and I put it in the email, guys, come prepared to get wet. I went digging. I found all the squirt guns we have in the church, and we got them out. So it's not supposed to be super warm, but that never stopped us before. So we'll be out there on the lawn about 2 o'clock. We're inviting friends, family, parents to come along just to hear about youth group and our activities for this year. So that'll be at 2 o'clock today. And those are the announcements I had. But as I said, we have I'm going to invite Mr. Stoner. Bob Stoner is going to come forward. And he has a couple of quick things to share with us as well.
Good morning, busy church family. We are blessed with so many activities. You always heard if you live in Michigan, you don't like the weather, it'll change. Monday, it was plus 90 at the food booth. Friday night, it was something under 65 at the ball game. But we still had fun. Ken Koss is away this weekend. I believe he's up north, hopefully resting. But He sent me a message that he asked that I read to the congregation. A big thank you to you from the men's group to everyone that helped and supported the food booth. It was a big effort and lots of work. From inside cookers to order takers to the griller to the smoothie makers. Everyone worked hard and with a smile and a willingness to help the customers. We are grateful for all the volunteers that stepped up and made it happen. The $1,406 we raised will be used for various missions and projects yet to be decided. As soon as the projects are selected, we will let you know. Heartfelt thanks from the men's group. And I also would like to add a big thank you to Ken for his leadership with the men's group. Amen.
And you can see some of the fun and activities on the screens there. If you didn't make it out to see us, that was some of the pictures from the day that are up there on the screens right now.
We a terrific time. Now, the next activity of the men's group is we are hosting a presentation on scams. Anybody aware of any scams? I think so. In fact, I heard that a church in the area got hacked, and they're dealing with that. Well, earlier this year, I attended an excellent presentation by Macomb County Prosecutor Peter Lucido on scams. It's titled Stop Crimes Against Macomb Seniors. The presentation is not just for seniors. Whether you're 78 or you're 18, you will learn many ways to protect yourself against scams. And everyone attending will receive this booklet filled with many ways to protect yourself and what to do if you are scammed. So on October 7th, a Saturday morning at 9 a.m., the men's group is serving a community breakfast. And on the menu is Ed Buckner's scrambled eggs. Following the breakfast, Mr. Lucido will present the scams presentation. Along with many other sign-ups down in the lobby, there's a sign-up for this community breakfast. And if you'd like to attend, please sign up after church today. It'll help us in the planning as we're looking at inviting some other churches. I will be down in the lobby after church if you have any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bob. And Bob, because he's humble, took a moment to say thank you to Ken for all that he did for the Peach Fest, but Bob needs to take his credit too. He was there as well with a lot of the planning, a lot of the prep, and so we want to say a word of thanks to Bob for all he does to help with our ministries and our men's group as well. But as Bob said, there's lots of sign-ups down there, and that's because we do have lots of things going on, and it is a great problem to have that I have to spend some time doing some of these announcements. It's wonderful to be a part of a church that is active and involved in our community and in ministry for Jesus Christ. But here and now, we're here to worship. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to turn our hearts, turn our minds to Jesus. And I'll invite you to join me for our opening hymn as we do so. We're going to sing together hymn number 558, We Are the Church. Will you stand with me and sing as you're able?
We are the church together. Oh,
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come this day seeking courage and hope for the future. Our world is in such peril. Heal these wounds and quiet the words of war around our world. Help us to be those who bring peace in our families and our communities. Banish the darkness of doubt and fear. Anoint us with your light and love that we may spread the good news of your mercy to everyone. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from Romans. It's Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Love for one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This ends our first reading for today. And at this time, it's my great joy, my great pleasure to welcome the group of people that is sitting behind me back with us. Oh, I was going to say, I was on the wrong spot. I saw the screens. Thank you, Gary. I like the kids too, don't get me wrong, but we have our choir back with us today, folks. And before they sing, I just want to take a moment to recognize that Gwen and Irene, they are going to be co-leading our choir for us this year. We're so thankful for their leadership, and I know they will be blessing us with their music throughout this year. So, choir, welcome back. We can't wait to hear you.
Come, Christians, join to sing.
Thank you, choir, and hallelujah and amen, indeed. I should have said as well, the choir is always looking for more voices. If you would like to join them, please feel free to talk to Gwen or Irene or any of the members, and they'll tell you about their schedule. And the bell choir will be starting back up as well. If you're interested, please let them know. They're always happy to have more singers and more ringers join them for Sunday. But at this time, I'm going to invite the children to come forward to join me for our time with children up on the steps. Wow, that was quite steep. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing this morning? Wow. We need to go back to bed? We a little sleepy, a little tired? Oh, all right. Well, I'm glad you're here, even if you're a little sleepy and a little tired. It's okay. We can come and still be here together. I had a question. I know for a fact that you guys were there. We talked about it at the beginning, but on Friday night, the church, we went and did something together. You guys remember where we went Friday night? We went down to the baseball game, right? We went down to Jimmy John's Field, and we got to watch a baseball game. And Everett went, too. He did come with us, you're right. And Dada, and Mama, and Veda, and Lainey, and Margaret, and Eliza. We got them all. We were all there. But when we were there, it was fun. We got to watch the baseball game, of course. The baseball players do a great job playing baseball. That's their job. But during the game, they also have lots of other things that happen. And in between innings, when they're switching and things, they do things, and what's one of the things they do? They have some people who run out, and what do? They get the bats, but the people in the stands, they run out, and they throw things into the stands, right? And we happened to catch one of those things that came flying into the stands. They threw a squishy baseball, right? It's yours? Oh, okay. But they threw those squishy baseballs, they threw t-shirts, they threw those other things, and there were fireworks, too. Whoops! And you don't like the fireworks, I know. Anything else you want to say? But they threw those baseballs and t-shirts into the stands, and part of the reason they do that is it's fun to catch those things and get those things and take them home. They're kind of a reminder of the fun you had at the game. You might wear the t-shirt as to the next time you go to a game or something like that. But it got me thinking as I was looking at this baseball. Then they come out with a new t-shirt. Yeah, you do. It's a cycle. You're right. I'm sorry. But these things, these baseballs and the t-shirts and those things that you take with you, they're reminders of the experience you had, the fun you had. And it kind of made me think that as the church, we want to do the same thing, don't we? We want to give people experiences. We want to give them reminders. We want to throw them something, even if it's not a real item. We want to throw them something they can catch when they come to the church. So when they leave, they can remember how they felt. They can remember Jesus Christ. They can remember the love that they felt present here. No, we're not throwing the ball at people. Don't worry. But I like that image, that idea that when people come, whether it's on our front lawn for the Peach Festival, we were serving people, we gave them a smile. That might be what they take with them. They might remember that we were friendly to them. They might have gotten a word of encouragement. Whatever it might be when people come, that we give them those things. So just like we got baseballs thrown at us and t-shirts, I encourage us all, not just the kids, but all of us, to throw things at people when they come here. And please don't throw a baseball at them. That's not what I mean. But throw a good word, a kind word. Throw a word of encouragement. Do something that might make somebody feel and remember. So can we do that? Can you guys help me with that? Can you help me with that? All right. Well, I'm going to say a word of prayer. And I think Ms. Hosler has you guys back there today. All right. You guys can head back with her then, all right? So let's say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the little ones in our worship, for those little voices, the excitement they bring, for the things that they help us to take with us from worship. And Lord, I pray that we can all be those who give to others, whether we give of our time, of ourselves, that we can give a kind word and a word of encouragement, something that they'll remember, that will make them remember the experience of being in your presence, God, because that's what we're here for, to know you, to love you, to serve you. So we give thanks this day, and we pray as always in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You can head back there to Odyssey, and we'll see you after church, all right? So just to warn you, I do have my baseball. If I see you nodding off today, no. We do take a moment of worship this time each Sunday to lift up our joys, to celebrate the things of the past week, but also to lift up the concerns and the needs we have in our church and around our world. And I wanted to highlight for us that we do have some beautiful flowers up front for us today. Some were provided here by Becky Lasky. They're in honor of Ron Lasky, in honor and memory of him. Those are up here with us. And then we also had a bouquet that was brought in, the one down in front that was from the memorial service that was held for Margaret Lewis yesterday. We've been praying for Margaret for some time, and her service was held yesterday, and the family wanted to thank us for those prayers and help us to have a beautiful item to be with us for worship today. So we continue to keep the Lewises in our prayers. And I had just one other, I'm sorry, I have two others I'm going to share here. The first being that on Tuesday evening, I had the privilege of sitting in on an Eagle Board of Review for Josh Sova. You remember, may remember it was a few weeks back that we celebrated Josh's Eagle Scout project. There are the couple of banners that are up there in the balcony that are used to store the boxes that are used to store our banners that we have in worship. I got to sit on his review board, and I am proud to say and proud to share that Josh completed his board review and is now officially an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts of America. And he's in the balcony. Where he often is, running our video equipment, but I wanted to celebrate that and congratulate him on accomplishing that goal. So say a word of thanks to him, say a word of congrats after service, if you would. And the last one I have, Connie gave it to me before worship. We've been praying for her sister, Sherry. She is out of ICU, but still in the hospital and needs assistance with her breathing. So continued prayers for Sherry are appreciated as they continue to treat her and hopefully get her strong enough and healthy enough to be off those machines and home again. So we continue to keep her in our prayers. Those are the ones that I had shared with me prior to worship. Judy has a microphone, and Nathan has one as well behind me. So if you have one, please raise your hand, and they will be glad to bring them to you.
Tigers won last night.
Tigers won last night.
Yeah, and my uncle had to have a pacemaker put in.
And prayers for your uncle who had a pacemaker inserted this week. Thank you, Debbie. I know this.
Couple things. First of all, it's Grandparents' Day today. How many do we have here? Are you a grandparent? Can you raise your hand? Look at all of us. Oh, well, that's a wonderful thing. Also, tomorrow's Patriot Day. So if you have a flag, maybe put it out just as respect for those who serve in our military and all that they do to keep us free. Also, if you would give prayers for our family member, Jay Efting. He fell last night and was rushed to the hospital and is in very serious trouble. He's on a ventilator, and his family is, of course, praying for him, so we're asking for prayers for our family member. Also, on a more positive note, my brother Al is home from the hospital from his quadruple bypass, and he's making progress every day, so we thank the Lord for his good gracious healing, continued healing for him. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. We continue to keep your brother in our prayers and also for family member dealing with a recent fall and struggle.
Can I pay prayers for my grandma? She's in a lot of pain and very weak right now.
Absolutely. Prayers for Aloha, for Connie's mom, that some comfort and relief for her as she's dealing with some struggles right now. Thank you so much.
A little while ago, I asked you for prayer for my granddaughter's other grandma, that she had pancreatic cancer, and she wanted to go home and be with Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. She went home.
An answer of prayers for relief from the pain and suffering, but prayers for the family that are sad to no longer have her with us. So, absolutely. Thank you, Arlene. Are there any others this morning that would like to share?
Beth Eisen.
Continued prayers for Beth, of course. And then the last one that I had meant to note, I hadn't written it down, prayers for the people over in Morocco. If you saw the news here in the last day or so, the earthquake that struck there has been quite devastating. I'm sure the numbers will continue to climb, the number injured, the number lost. So please keep them in your prayers, and for those going in to help with the recovery and the rescue efforts, keep them in our prayers. But this time I invite us to take those that we've heard that have been lifted here, as well as those that we may have brought with us, those needs that we know, those joys that we celebrate. Take a moment, share them with God in silent prayer. Loving God, friend of the neglected and the despised, friend also of the cherished and honored ones, we offer to you our prayers for this world for which Christ gave his all. We pray for the uplifting of the meek and merciful, and for the encouragement of the poor and the pure. We pray for the recovery of the bruised and the lost, and the peace of those who thirst for righteousness. We pray for the feeding of the hungry in body or spirit, and for the healing of those who are diseased in body or mind. We pray for the comfort of the suffering and the grieving, for the befriending of the lonely, timid, or those who feel like they're on the outside looking in. We pray for the humbling of the church if it becomes too proud, for the courage, whether it is shunned or persecuted, to continue forward in faith. Lord, we pray for the strong and the weak in this congregation and around the world. We pray for the spiritual health of the other churches in our community. For we know that you, Holy God, are more eager to give than we are to receive. Deal firmly with your servants gathered here now, that we get rid of everything that clutters our souls and make way for all the new blessings you have in store for us. For it is through Jesus Christ our Lord that we pray all these things, as we now join our voices together to offer this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I invite you to once again stand with me and sing as you're able our next hymn. It's number 390, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. Will you sing hymn number 390? You may please be seated. And as you are, we take this moment. We pause just for a moment each week to give our thanks, to recognize the work that we are called to, the work that we continue to do through this church. You've heard about some of the things this morning. I can't help but talk about them because it brings me great joy to see the work we do in this community, the difference we make, the things I hear coming in from the outside, from other pastors, other people in our community. It brings me great joy to be a part of it. So thank you for your continued commitment to our mission and ministry here at Romeo United Methodist. It's only possible because of the faithful giving of so many. And I remind us, we do have our offering box located on the wall behind the organ. If you wish to leave an offering today, and our online giving is always available at romeoumc.com. Let's take a word, take this moment to offer our thanks to God for our collection here today. God of love and compassion, we ask you to dedicate the tithes and offerings we bring to worship. We do this in hope that you will do far more with them than we could ever do with them on our own. You will use them to heal the brokenness and division of our world. Remind us that the work of reconciliation does not get removed from our list because we put something in the offering, and that your mission field is always within our arm's reach. We pray this all in our Redeemer's holy name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is going to come from Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, reproving another who sins. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a phrase that I'm sure you're all familiar with. It's likely one you've used or at least had it said to you during your life. I'm positive of it. I'm going to get 100% participation on this one. I'm sure of it. But have you ever heard the phrase, put on your Sunday best? Anyone? Some nods, some thumbs up, some hands up? I thought so. We've all heard it at some point in our lives. I know I have. And it's usually in reference to what? Getting ready for church on Sunday morning. Putting on our church clothes, right? Getting those things on, putting on our pants and our shirts, usually a button down in my case that I had to put on, putting on those shoes, all those clothes that were just a little bit more uncomfortable than anything else I had in my closet. It was my Sunday best that I had to put on. They were the nice clothes that I had, the ones that looked good. We put on our Sunday best to go to church. And in reality, that phrase has fallen out a bit in recent years. It's not used quite as much, quite as often as it once was. I might even try to throw it at the youth this afternoon just to see if it's something they've ever heard, if it's something they're familiar with. And I know that there may be some among us that long for those bygone days, those days when we did put on our Sunday best, when that was the expectation of coming to church. But this week I read an interesting article. It made me stop, made me think a little bit about that phrase. In it, the author was talking about his experience with his Sunday best growing up. He was a preacher's kid. He was a pastor's kid. And he heard that phrase quite often, being told to put on his Sunday best each week. And he wrote, for him, it was about so much more than just the clothes that he put on getting ready for church. For him, it was time to put on his church attitude, that certain things would be expected of him on that Sunday morning as he put on his Sunday best. It wasn't just the clothes. There were expectations about the physical outfit, of course. He had to keep it neat and clean. But there was the unspoken things that he said were present as well, that him and his siblings had to keep in mind, that they had to keep it clean in their thoughts and their words and their actions as well. Keep it clean in how they treat one another. Put on your Sunday best to go to church. And in part, I like that image. I like that message, that thought. The expectation that we are going to put on our best for God, that we're going to take our best to God each and every week. Physically with what we wear, of course, but also with our attitude, with our thoughts, with how we behave. I do like that. Except in some ways, I don't. The more I thought about it, the more I sat with it, I didn't like it as much. Because to me, it started to minimize our Christian faith. It started to narrow it down to a few-hour period on Sunday morning when we're expected to be faithful, when we're expected to do our best for God. That the expectations of our behavior during the rest of the week don't really matter. That we can do whatever we want. All bets are off outside of those Sunday best hours. If I'm not in my church clothes, it must be okay for me to treat others poorly. It's okay to take care of my own needs. Others' needs, be damned. Forget about them. It's okay to be cutthroat at work. Those aren't my church clothes I'm wearing. I'm wearing my work clothes today. Why shouldn't I be? Everyone else's. I bet they don't even go to church on Sunday. At least I do. When it comes down to it, I'm not as bad as the other guys, so I do my best. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those who does lament the busyness of our world these days, the busyness it seems that's all around us. I wish for the times when we could take things just a little slower, when we weren't running from one event or meeting or sporting event or whatever it was to the next, when the sports fields were empty on Sunday mornings and the Sunday school classrooms were full, when family dinner meant time spent around the dinner table, actually, not grabbing a bag through the drive-thru. Those times when we did put on our Sunday best, I do miss those times. But then I had to stop. I had to realize something. I had to swallow my own humble pill and thinking that I had the answer for everyone else. Because I was comparing the way that I think things should be, the way I wish things were with how everyone else does. I was putting my expectations onto others. And I don't get to do that. That's not my choice to make. Because when I thought about it, the reality is, Jesus never once asked us for our Sunday best, did he? We're told to keep the Sabbath, I'll give you that. But Jesus didn't say, put on your Sunday best for that hour of worship. Jesus didn't say, put on your Sunday best once a week. Jesus simply asked for our best, period. At all times, at all places, all days of the week, all times, all wherever we are, Jesus asked for our best. He didn't care if it was Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. He didn't care if it was Monday morning and the coffee hadn't quite kicked in yet. He didn't care if it was Friday afternoon at 5. Jesus asked for our best, to live our best life, to live as he taught us to live. Jesus didn't really care about the when. Jesus simply cared about the who. He cared about those that he encountered and interacted with. And here's the thing. He simply asked that we do the same. No matter where we are, no matter when we are. He asked us to care for and love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. It was a simple request, love one another. And it was with that realization that I found myself looking at this gospel text from Matthew, looking at it in a very different way this week. This text I just read from Matthew 18, it's long been used in the church as an example of how to deal with conflict, how to deal with disagreement in the church and in our lives. It's been around for many years, as you may know, as Matthew wrote it many years ago. And let's face it, as long as there's humans involved, there's going to be disagreements and conflicts. But this text, it focuses on reconciliation of those individuals or within groups. And the important thing to note, I think, as we read it, it's not about winning. It's not about being proven right. It's about reconciliation. It's about bringing another back into the fold, welcoming them back so that both parties are made whole and the relationship is restored. And I've heard and studied this text before. It was covered in many of my seminary classes. It was covered through many of my ordination process seminars I had to go to. I remember a whole semester spent in pastoral care really looking at this one text, and I do appreciate the wisdom it imparts to us. But this week, as I read it, it was the words of verse 17 that really stood out to me. Can you go ahead and put those up there for us? And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. As Jesus is teaching his disciples about how to treat one another, how to reconcile with one another, he tells them, at least how it reads to me, if you've tried, if you've done these steps, followed these instructions, and still that individual won't listen, let them be a Gentile or a tax collector. Let them be like one of those folks. Well, we all know how the Jewish people felt about the tax collectors, don't we? How they felt about the Gentiles. Let's just say they weren't on friendly terms. And that's probably an understatement. They were not friends at all. They were quite hated enemies, to be honest. They didn't get along at all. So as we read this, it almost seems as if Jesus has given them permission to treat that person who won't reconcile, who won't listen, as one who's against us. If we did all those steps, followed the procedure, and the one who we went to refuses to listen, refuses to be reconciled, we're allowed to do this, right? We're allowed to toss them out, Jesus has said. I mean, he just gave us permission, right? Of course, we know that's not true. If we take a moment, if we take a moment and look deeper at the words and realize who said them, it has a different meaning, I think, because when we look at those highlighted words that are on them, what do they say? Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Well, we covered how the Jewish people felt about those folks. But what about how Jesus felt about those type of people? Well, to be frank, it's not too hard to talk about because we wouldn't be reading this text from Matthew without one of those people. Matthew was the tax collector. He was welcomed in by Jesus. He was brought into the fold. He was made a disciple, one that would serve the Lord. And how did Jesus treat the Gentiles? He preached to them. He invited them in, even if it was often at the displeasure of some of his Jewish friends. And yes, there were times that he was hard on them or seemed to be harsh with them. But along with those words of rebuke that he always offered words of love and encouragement. He offered words of invitation to change and join him, to learn what he was trying to teach, to learn and grow from their sinful ways. So really, as we look at those words, just how is Jesus calling us to behave towards the ones we are struggling to be reconciled with, even if they won't listen? How is Jesus calling us to behave? Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Are we to toss them aside, wash our hands of them? We're done with them? We did our best. That's their problem now. Is that what Jesus is calling us to? Or are these words a call to continue to try to reach out, to continue to try to make amends, to continue to show them love and grace and respect, even if it isn't fully repaid to us in return? It may mean we still need to condemn some sinful actions or words on their behalf at times, but we need to do so without losing sight of the inherent goodness contained within that individual. What's known as the Imago Dei, the image of God that resides in each and every person. That's what Jesus saw. Jesus saw God within each individual he encountered. Jesus calls us to do the same. And that's actually what brought me around to the final verse from our reading. Can you put that one up there for us, Gary? It's verse 20, and it reads, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This is a verse that I've loved to use. I've used it many, many times. It might look familiar if you read the newsletter this week, because it was the verse I used in our newsletter just this month. To me, it's a reminder that when we gather, Jesus is there. Whether it be for worship, for funerals, for weddings, for fellowship, on the front lawn to serve hot dogs to the community, or at a baseball game, Jesus is there. Jesus is with us. And I believe all of that to be true. I don't doubt a single word of that. But looking at these words, this passage this week, I looked at them through a different lens and it revealed something new to me. Jesus is present when two or three are gathered. Jesus is present even if those two or three or 10, 100, 1,000, whatever the count is, if they're gathered and they don't see eye to eye. Jesus is still there. Jesus is present when we have disagreements. Disagreements are not necessarily a bad thing. They allow us opportunities to learn and grow from one another. But they also allow us to have those times when we've felt wronged, or when perhaps we've wronged another, to make amends, to change our actions and our words. Jesus is present in those times when we intentionally gather in His name, and it be at a time of celebration or a time of difficulty. Jesus offers His presence as a reminder of the grace that He has so graciously and so freely given to each and every one of us. It's a reminder that we are called to fulfill the law, just as He said, by showing love to our neighbors, to each and every neighbor. The commandments are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I believe we are called to teach, to encourage, to strengthen one another. And yes, there may be times when we need to rebuke and offer reproach to another as well. But above all, we are called to do it in Christian love. Not to wrong another, not to prove that we were right and they were wrong, not to make a scene of it, but to do it in love. So I pray, I hope we can continue to put on our Sunday best for God, but let us wear it each and every day we go out into the world, not at specified times or places or with certain people and not with others. Let us give God our best, knowing that God has already given us His all. Thanks and praise be to God today and always. Amen.
So let's stand for our last praise song, if you're able.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the waters deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. Chasm was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, 'cause your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Thank you, Jesus.
Travelers on this journey of faith, remember this. God is at work all around you. May you be ready to witness the signs of God's love in your midst and be a sign of God's love wherever you go. Let us go with God's blessing. Amen.